From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. Last spring, we told you about a teacher shortage here in Idaho, one that had educators worried about the upcoming fall semester when children of all ages would head back to school. Well, guess what? That school year has started. In fact, the Boise School District went back to classes today. So we wanted to check back in with Idaho Education News because this organization first reported on this story. So I want to say welcome back to Kevin Richard. He is senior reporter and blogger at Idaho Ed News. Kevin, it's always good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me aboard, Gemma.
Okay, so Kevin, let's start with the problem. Idaho doesn't have enough teachers. So how bad was the shortage back in June? And has it gotten any better over the summer?
It hadn't gotten a whole lot better, Gemma. So when we talked about this back in June, the State Board of Education was tallying about 700 teacher vacancies. They don't really know how that compares to previous years, but that's a lot. That's a pretty high number, especially when many school districts said they were having a hard time just getting applicants. They just didn't have people to fill those positions. So where are we today? As you said, first day of classes in Boise, school districts across the state are either opening now or getting ready to open in the next few days. As of right now, I went on the website, edjobsidaho.com, which is kind of the go-to site for filling teacher vacancies. As of this moment, or 15 minutes ago when I logged on, 488 jobs are posted there. So that's that's quite a lot, especially when we're not in early summer anymore. I mean, this was a crisis in early summer in June when schools were scrambling to try to fill those positions. Now the kiddos are coming back. The teachers aren't all the way back. The crisis is definitely not abated. If anything, it's probably even more intensified because it's now crunch time. I mean, school is in session and these spots are still unfilled.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin, why is the shortage more than just numbers? And I mean, we consider and say, okay, there's about 500 vacancies, but that translates into a lot more issues.
It does translate into a lot of issues. And while the numbers are really sobering, the numbers of vacancies, that only tells you half of the story. I mean, let's put yourself in the position of being anybody in HR in any sector, not just education. If you've got 10 vacancies, but you've got 15 or 20 good applicants, quality applicants, folks you would like to hire, all of a sudden, okay, that's a big job. You got to fill 10 vacancies. You got to interview. You got to check references. You got to vet these people out. But at least you've got options. School districts for months, and probably for more than months, have been saying, we're just not seeing applicants. We don't have those options. So if you have, instead of, talking about 10 vacancies, let's say you have 5 vacancies, but no applicants or one applicant, which is not that uncommon from what we were hearing back in the summer, then you got a problem on your hands because you can't fill the positions.
Okay, so you say that Idaho, there are three big reasons why we're having this teacher shortage here in Idaho, and they are money, housing, and respect. I want to break down all three of those. Let's start with the money. Low wages. Idaho put $104 million into teacher wages this year. I'm assuming that didn't help much if we have almost 500 vacancies.
Well, it didn't help as much as maybe legislators and the governor had hoped it would. And it gets really complicated when we try to figure out who got the money and how it all divvied out. Because you're right, $104 million went into the pool for teacher salaries. That doesn't mean that that money goes straight into the pockets of teachers, goes straight into teacher salaries. The negotiation process takes place at the local level. So different districts went with different salary schedules, as they always do. But by and large, money is a factor. One of the things we're doing, and I want to point it out and tout it a little bit, we're doing an online survey of educators to ask, what are they thinking going into the school year? And what is the biggest concern? We've heard from several hundred teachers already. And if you're a teacher and you're listening to this and you want to weigh in, go to idohonews.org and find the survey and fill it out. So of the several hundred that we've heard from so far, well, guess what? Biggest concern is pay. Not really a surprise.
So Kevin, we also know that lawmakers, they put aside about $180 million, and this was to help teachers with health care. What did that do in terms of recruitment and retention?
Well, what it did was it's given school districts some options in terms of whether to try to get onto the state health insurance plan, which is kind of the gold standard. It's pretty good coverage, pretty low premiums for employees, and maybe more importantly for school employees, it gets you coverage for your whole family. That's been a big problem for a lot of school employees. And here, we're not just talking about teachers. We're talking about anybody who works for a school district. Benefits have been a big problem. The trouble is the money that went into this isn't enough to cover the transition, the upfront costs of moving to the state insurance plan. So it's not going as quickly as maybe some legislators might have hoped it would. It's going to take some time. It's probably going to take some more money. Granted, the state is sitting on a $1.4 billion surplus, so there is money available if legislators feel like they need to put more into the pot to make this happen.
So, there's this idea, Kevin, that teachers here in Idaho can just cross the border, right? They can go to Oregon, Washington, make a lot more money. Is it that easy? And are we seeing that? Because I'm thinking of, let's say, someone living in Boise. Are you going to drive an hour plus a day to go work across the border?
Maybe not, but if you're a teacher in Lewiston or a teacher in Coeur d'Alene or a teacher in Preston in the southeast corner of the state where it's a really easy commute, yeah, it's a big problem. I mean, border communities have been talking about this for a long time. This is not a new problem for school districts right along the state lines because, our salaries, they don't compare to what's being offered in Washington State or Oregon or Utah or Wyoming.
Kevin, let's talk housing. You wrote about one Magic Valley administrator who said, despite annual raises, the cost of living is just too high and there is zero affordable housing. I think this administrator called it a perfect storm.
Yeah, I mean, the survey that we saw back in the summer, the comments that you were hearing from administrators about this, you could tell the sense of urgency that they're feeling. And I don't think this is a new problem for them, but absolutely housing is an issue. And, this isn't unique to teachers. I think you could ask just about any employer in just about any sector in the Treasure Valley. They're going to say housing costs are an impediment to getting people to work in Boise because they may not be able to afford to live in Boise. I mean, it's a problem. And, housing issue is not just a Boise issue, although it's certainly a big issue in Boise.
So, Kevin, I want to dive into this next one, and this is respect. Teachers have faced so much, in particular over the last 2 years, of course, COVID and the pandemic. But there has then been violence and there has been safety issues. I mean, to a backlash from some over what's being taught in schools. How do all of these issues come together to frankly impact the number of teachers who want to even stay in this profession at this point?
I think it all kind of bleeds together into one really big problem. And that's why it's not just a problem that you can solve with money. Now, I go back to the survey that we're doing with teachers and teachers saying that salary is their biggest concern. And that's not surprising. That's not new. And that's not going to change anytime soon, no matter what the legislature does. But what we're hearing over and over is teachers are feeling other issues. The respect issue comes through in the questionnaires. Teachers are saying they're just not getting the level of respect in the classroom, maybe the level of respect in the community, the level of respect from parents that they deserve. And then you factor in, I feel like, we're 2 years in and we're treating COVID like an oh, by the way, teachers have been through two really difficult years because of the COVID pandemic, trying to navigate teaching during the pandemic and, toggling back and forth between online learning and in-person learning and, having their own concerns maybe about their own personal health and safety. That's coming through in the questionnaires too. Teachers are just feeling burned out. Like we all are feeling a little bit burned out right now. I think you factor all of these things together, money, respect, housing, the post-pandemic the burnout, all of those factors kind of come together, which is why you can't just solve it with one approach. You can't just, put money into the salary pool and expect that to take care of everything.
Well, I think too, Kevin, this idea of respect, right? And the questioning of what's being taught, or the backlash that teachers have faced in regards to COVID. But then, you have school safety issues, as we mentioned. There is something to be said about what a person is willing to tolerate when they are treated with respect and dignity, right? I think a lot of people, and I'm not talking just about the teaching profession, right? But when you are not given just simple respect and dignity, I don't know if there's enough money to throw at you to stay in a
And
job.
exactly. And I'll get a little bit personal about this. This is where it kind of hits home for me as a teacher's kid. Now, my dad was a high school and junior high school teacher, and that's where he wanted to be. He didn't want to go into administration to make more money. He wanted to be in the classroom. And I think of him, and I think of, the hardworking, really dedicated teachers that my two kids had as they were going through K-12. By and large, teachers who were just trying to do right by their kids, just trying to do right by their community, trying to make a difference in lives, and everything that's been thrown at them, some of which is beyond anybody's control. Nobody cooked up a pandemic to throw it at teachers. It just became this, horrific situation that they had to deal with, like we all had to deal with. But yeah, simple respect is not, that doesn't feel like an unreasonable ask.
No, not at all. And here's the thing too, Kevin. We're not just seeing these issues with teachers. It's a ripple effect into schools. I mean, in particular, when we talk about the pay gap, there aren't enough bus drivers. There aren't enough cafeteria workers. I mean, how bad, is this?
Oh, I'm glad you went there because we talk so much about the teacher shortage and it's a big deal. But the shortage of classified employees in schools is a big deal. And in some ways, it may be even a bigger deal. I'll throw some numbers. Carly Flandro, our reporter who's been writing about this most recently, she looked at the Twin Falls School District. 13 and a half teacher vacancies. That's bad. 82 classified employee vacancies. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about classified employees? Because that sounds like an HR term, and it is an HR term. Classifieds are non-teachers, but they perform a lot of important functions. They're the cafeteria workers, they're the bus drivers, they're the custodians. They're also paraprofessionals. Those are teachers' aides who are most often the teaching staff that works most closely with at-risk kids. Twin Falls is looking for 38 paraprofessionals as of earlier this week when Carly wrote her story. That's a huge number, and it's not unique to Twin Falls. WestData was looking at more than 60 vacancies just in paraprofessionals. Nampa, 17. I mean, these are big numbers, and these are tough jobs to fill because it's administrators telling us they can't even outpay McDonald's right now for those jobs. So, you think pay is a factor? You bet it's a factor. We're trying to fill those positions.
So, Kevin, I have about 2 minutes left. What does this mean for kids? I mean, is it bigger classrooms? Is it less individual instruction? What is the school year potentially going to look like?
Definitely, it could mean larger classrooms, less personalized attention. It may also mean less experienced teachers. And, again, the Twin Falls situation, they're looking at 70 new teachers this year out of a staff of 530. So that's pretty big turnover, right? That's almost 15% turnover. A lot of those teachers are first-year teachers. A lot of them have gotten their certificate through a non-traditional program as opposed to going through a college of education and getting their degree from a college or a university. That's not to say that these non-traditional hires are automatically bad teachers. Some of them turn out to be really good teachers, and they're really there because they want to do it and they want to dedicate themselves to the profession and more power to them, but they may not have the same level of experience as a recent graduate who went through a college of education, and certainly won't have the same level of experience as somebody who's had a few years in the classroom. So that's what it may mean for students. Bigger classes, less personalized attention, and maybe a less experienced, less seasoned teacher at the head of the classroom.
Well, Kevin, as always, really appreciate your reporting on all of this. We've been talking with Kevin Richard, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Ed News, about Idaho's teacher shortage. Kevin, as always, good to have you on.
Thanks, Gemma.